This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
All right, let's talk about the Epstein stuff. John Solomon's going to give us an update on that. Immigration talk. Is Eric Swalwell going to prison? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so apparently we're about to get an update on all the Epstein stuff. There's going to be a vote in the House of Representatives. And when I say Epstein stuff and update, I should probably clarify just a little recap before we go any further, what Trump said about it, what he's been saying, so on and so forth. Remember that a lot of the Jeffrey Epstein saga is shrouded in mystery. We know a lot of things, some things that have been made public. We don't know a lot of things. We know that he was a billionaire financier. We know that wealthy, powerful people had dealings with him. We do not know that everybody who had dealings with him is a pedophile or something like that. In fact, that would probably be unrealistic to think that. But clearly, there were some people who did some bad things with Jeffrey Epstein. And we're tired of powerful people getting away with crimes all the time. And so if there are powerful pedophiles, billionaires, politicians, actors, whoever they may be, who are abusing children, you, me, we would like those people exposed for their crimes and sent to prison. And this has been something that has been on people's minds for a very long time. And it only got worse when Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide while in federal custody, seemed a little shady to people who were waiting for the truth to come out. Now, that brings us to what Trump said over the weekend. Trump comes out and says, hey, expose the Epstein stuff. Let it all out there. I'm paraphrasing. It was a very long social media post, but go ahead, let all the Jeffrey Epstein stuff out into the public. Well, that's interesting, because that is a dramatic reversal on what Trump has been saying recently, stuff like this.
Yeah, sure.
Could I just interrupt for
sure.
A second? Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable.
The whole thing is a hoax. They ran the files. I was running against somebody that ran the files. If they had something, they would have released. Now, they can easily put something in the files that's a phony.
But it's really a Democrat hoax, because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president.
Okay. So, what happened? Why was he telling everyone to move on, shut up, it's a hoax? Now he comes out and he says, hey, just release all the files, it's fine, let's be done with it. Let's talk. You know what a riptide is? You ever heard of a riptide? Anyone who's vaguely familiar with the ocean understands that people drown every single year, people just at the beach. They will drown because a riptide will come and pull them out away from the beach, and they'll eventually run out of gas and they'll drown in the ocean. Now, why do people generally drown in a riptide? Because they don't understand what they're dealing with, and they try to swim against it when it is trying to pull them out into the ocean. By the way, just swim parallel to the beach and you'll swim right out of it. Parallel to the beach and then you can swim right out of it. But people don't know this, and they try to swim against it. And you can't fight the ocean. And even strong swimmers have drowned in riptides, feeling like they can fight the ocean. Donald Trump is an incredibly powerful human being, two-time president of the United States of America, billionaire, celebrity, worldwide known businessman, and 25 years into the 21st century, he is unquestionably the man on planet Earth. He has defined planet Earth for the first 25 years. It is. So when you have that level of power, you oftentimes can convince yourself, like that very strong swimmer, that you can fight the ocean, control it, guide it. But you can't. There are things that are even still much more powerful than Donald Trump. The fascination with Jeffrey Epstein, what's in the files, powerful pedophiles, These things are not things that magically go away because Donald Trump wakes up one morning and decides to start shouting at everyone to shut up about it, move on. It's a Democrat hoax. It doesn't work that way. As much as he may want it to be true, all it did was turn people off and create a deep division inside the right. Now, his reversal, I'll get to in a moment. Why was he taking this almost odd previous stance? Shut up, move on, shut up, it's nothing, it's a hoax, shut up, move on. Well, I suspect we're about to find out because we're about to see these files. My theory is not that Trump is protecting himself. If Donald Trump had done anything wrong with Jeffrey Epstein, we would have known about it years ago. You know that and I know that. I don't think Donald Trump did anything wrong. I suspect someone he knows did. That's what I suspect. Maybe a powerful person inside the party, billionaire, politician. I don't know. I suspect, just a suspicion, there's someone in those files, and Donald Trump would rather their name was not read aloud publicly. But we don't have to sit and guess. We're going to know very, very shortly, which brings me to the reversal. Well, the reversal is just what I just said. Donald Trump can shout at people all day long to shut up and move on and shut up and move on and yell at this congressman and that congresswoman and don't vote on it. But once you realize the ocean cannot be fought against, you really have no choice but to finally start swimming parallel to the shore. So it looks like we're going to get it released. Now, we do have to understand, in reference to his calling it a Democrat hoax, Democrats are going to attempt to use this to hurt Donald Trump, even though if it could have hurt Donald Trump, we would have seen him years ago. Mays Moore put together this little back and forth of Anderson Cooper.
So just this, like, the whole idea of the Epstein list.
It's so ridiculous.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, last year, early in 2024, court documents were released where there were names of associates of Jeffrey Epstein. Donald Trump was mentioned in that. Zero accusation of any wrongdoing whatsoever, just that he knew him.
For years, there had been fake flight logs of Jeffrey Epstein that grow in size and new names are added. Yes. There's no there, and they're disappointing the conspiracy-minded people.
We begin tonight with breaking news. Just before airtime, the Wall Street Journal published a piece with this striking headline. Jeffrey Epstein's friends sent him bawdy letters for a 50th birthday album. One was from Donald Trump. It's also interesting to me that President Trump is now calling this a hoax.
Democrats never cared about it until they thought there was a chance they might be able to use it against Donald Trump. And maybe that was Trump's angle in this whole thing. There's no there, if that's actually true. And he knew that Democrats were just going to try to use this to get him to kneecap his presidency. And let's address that in a very frank way, the there portion of this. We imagine in our minds that there is a list, right? There's a list, the client list. I've imagined it. I'm sure maybe you have as well. Surely there's like a piece of paper, isn't there? And on this piece of paper is written down every bad guy who had bad dealings with Jeffrey Epstein, and there's even a little description on the piece of paper about the exact crime on this date he was with. But that's not true. Criminals don't generally do that. There are files, pages and pages and pages. There will be all kinds of accusations in there, all sorts of bad guys in there, all sorts of false accusations in there, all sorts of, it's going to be a gigantic pile of convoluted mess. It's not going to be some simple, concise thing that you can read or I can read. And plus, they're going to redact God knows how much of it. This is going to be blacked out, and that's going to be blacked out, and that's only going to make people that much more suspicious. I don't know that we're going to get any kind of a clarification when the files are finally released. And the truth is that trying to shout down the release of these files, it did hurt Donald Trump politically, because it alienated portions of the base. Remember, every base, everyone who gets elected president has formed a coalition. And oftentimes these coalitions, they have groups that don't really get along with each other, don't like each other, but they want a little something and they want a little something. And they were big parts of the Trump coalition, not normal righties that were on his side, in part because he said, yeah, I'm going to release it. Let's get it out there. I mean, guys like Andrew Schultz, Joe Rogan.
up. They've got videotape, and all of a sudden they don't. You know, you have the director of the FBI on the show saying there's no tape. If there was, nothing you're looking for is on those tapes. Like, what? Why'd they say there was thousands of hours of tapes of people doing horrible shit? Why'd they say that?
Right.
Didn't Pam Bondi say that?
What, are you talking about Epstein or Diddy?
Yeah, Epstein.
Yeah, she said it literally, I think, a week before you had the FBI director sitting here telling you there was nothing, right?
She said something about that there was, like, thousands of hours of tapes of people doing horrible crimes.
There is. And didn't the FBI dude say that there was nothing?
Cash Patel said there's nothing you're looking for. Oh, okay.
You know what I should have done? It's like, if I wanted to vote for somebody who was going to end the foreign wars, who was going to increase the budget, and who was going to, you know, just silence the Epstein files and throw it away, I should have just voted for Kamala, right? Because she was going to do that.
It's been bad. The whole thing has been bad. Trying to fight the ocean has been bad. Whatever reasons there were, it's been bad. And of course, Democrats, sleazeballs like Adam Schiff, are going to work very, very hard. Well, here it was.
That attitude that if you can make a president or a party unsuccessful, no matter what damage it might do to the country, because it's good politics, we have to get past that ruinous idea. We have to figure out a way to stop viewing each other as our enemy. I listen in the Judiciary Committee to a lot of my colleagues across the aisle rail with just the most righteous indignation about the horrible weaponization of the Justice Department under that well-known partisan Merrick Garland. And it is so fanciful as to be absurd, but they speak it with what appears to be total conviction.
He's a sleazeball. He's going to be all over the television set, making his political opponents out to be the devil like he always has. Get ready for Epstein this and Epstein that and Epstein this and Epstein that. The truth is that this has been handled terribly by the Trump administration. Pam Bondi has a lot of egg on her face about the whole thing. Trump does too. It's been handled terribly. It's been a gigantic black eye on the administration. I hope the files get released, we get informed, and bad people are held to account, and then we can move on. This has been managed terribly. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. John Solomon is going to join us in a moment and talk about this. Before John Solomon talks about this, I want to talk to you about your money. The money you spend on your cell phone service every single month. Are you handling that terribly? Are you taking your hard-earned money and paying Verizon to crap on your country? To hand over your information to the Cheka? Are you paying AT&T, T-Mobile? These companies hate your freaking guts. Why don't you switch to the cell phone company that loves you, loves this country, as America first as it get, American jobs. When you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk, you get to talk to a pleasant American. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and switch today. We'll be back.
Says he's concerned that the Epstein probe you are calling for could be a smokescreen to block or release some more files. Is that the case?
Well, I don't want to talk about it because fake news like you, you're a terrible reporter, and fake news like you, they just keep bringing that up to deflect from the tremendous success of the Trump administration. So they're using Jeffrey Epstein as a deflection from the tremendous success that we're having as a party.
All right. Joining me now, founder of Just the News, the wonderful John Solomon. All right, John, it's been a bit of a back and forth. It was, we're going to release the Epstein files, and then it was, shut up about the stupid Epstein files, you idiots. And then it was, I can't release the files, and now he's back to release the files. For those who are getting whiplash, can you maybe give us some background on Trump's bouncing back and forth, because there's no even accusations he did anything wrong. So what is this about?
Yeah, listen, I think when you look at the totality of Donald Trump's statements and involvement in this, one, he had some cordial relationship for Epstein for a period of time. At some point, he found out some untoward things, maybe because some of his employees at Mar-a-Lago were being rolled up by Epstein. He didn't like it. He kind of cut things off at that point. His point is not that he believes that it's a hoax what these women are saying. What he's saying is trying to connect Jeffrey Epstein to some scandal to me is a hoax. And so his point is people are looking for a way to make America more affordable, to make America more safe, and I want to stay focused on that. So he tried to push the Republican Party to let this go, and they didn't. There is a period curiosity in America for these sort of scandals. And even though Donald Trump doesn't really have any exposure significantly that we can tell from all the reporting that we know, he wanted this to go away because it's not what he would like the Republican Party to be talking about. He'd rather be talking about affordability, the fact that gas and eggs and prescription prices are down, or that they're cleaning up cities and getting illegal immigrants out. And instead, it's Epstein, 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 much like Russia, Russia, Russia. At some point, he realized that despite all of his efforts, this wasn't going to go away. And so on Friday night on the plane, he basically said, listen, if the House wants to release this stuff and vote to release it, go ahead, by all means, do it. Can we just talk about something more important, like what's on dinner table today? Now, Donald Trump has never said, I don't believe the women, or I'm trying to denigrate the women. He wasn't calling the women's allegations a hoax. In fact, quite frankly, it seems as though he became concerned what Epstein was doing, and that's why he cut him off and ended a relationship with him. I think his point was, if you're going to try to connect me to Jeffrey Epstein and make this a big scandal, it's a hoax. It's just like Russia. Let's talk about something else. I think the vote will allow these documents to come out in whatever realm. There's a challenge here, which is the judiciary controls the remainder of the unreleased documents. They're grand jury documents. The Justice Department can't release them. Democratic judges have refused to release them. So a third branch of government has to come between the executive branch and the judiciary branch and saying, we're using our Article II powers as Congress to release these, and therefore you must put them out. That'll make this go away. I don't think we're going to learn a whole lot more. I was amused by the give and take by Marjorie Taylor Greene and the president. When she puts out the private text messages of the president over the weekend, it shows you how little some of the people advocating for Epstein release documents know about the case, because it's clear that Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to tell the president, look, Bill Clinton was on the plane 27 times. That's why I said release these documents. The only problem with that claim is that for Marjorie Taylor Greene, the 27 plane trips were actually released back in 2016, 9 years ago. So it kind of undercuts the whole Marjorie Taylor Greene argument. I think most, you know, we know what Jeffrey Epstein was. He was a creep. He preyed on young women. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot more new information for two reasons. One, if Jeffrey Epstein had documents after 2008, when he got the sweetheart deal from the Justice Department, he almost certainly destroyed them. And so there's just not going to be a lot of documents in the possession of the estate. There'll be some embarrassing revelations about what the government sat on in 08, 09. That's on the Bush administration, not the Trump administration. And I think it'll be a lot of oxygen wasted over something that I think we all generally know how bad it was.
One last thing on this, because I want to move on to Clinton corruption, things like that. The 2008, the government sitting on information, the sweetheart deal, it's one of those things. There are several parts of the story that are uniquely salacious, and they make people, you know, make their eyebrows perk up. What do we believe about this sweetheart deal, the who, what, when, where, and why? What did the government cover up, and why would the government do such a thing?
We don't know the motivation, right? It can't be because Jeffrey Epstein was a good guy, because by 2008 it was obvious he wasn't a good guy. But, you know, basically letting the state prosecute him on a prostitution solicitation deal and not looking at the obvious, which was that he was running some form of a human trafficking scheme, or in putting these women's lives and well-being in danger, the government takes a dive. There are lots of theories about it. None are clear. I think the most important document that could be released is the detailed interview that the Justice Department Inspector General did with Alex Acosta, the U.S. attorney, who was sitting in Miami when these transactions went down in 08, meaning we're going to let the state do it. We're going to do a non-prosecution agreement at the federal level. I think understanding his motives and what pressure he might have gotten
during the end of the Bush administration is something worth looking at. And we've never seen the full interview. And it's, you know, I think about 300 pages, if I remember correctly. I think that could be really valuable. If there is a scandal, it is the decisions that the Bush Justice Department made in 08 not to federally intervene. Heck, when Donald Trump comes in 2018-19, it's his Justice Department that takes the bigger case that puts Epstein in prison where he then commits suicide. I think the real scandal is in the blind eye or the tap on the hand, the slap on the wrist that the Bush administration chose to give Jeffrey Epstein. And I don't think we know the reason why. There are a lot of theories about it. Did he have a relationship with the CIA? Was he involved? We know one of his early clients in his life was someone that was involved in Iran-Contra. Is that a motivation? Nobody really knows. I think knowing what the prosecutor thought, who may have laid on it, what pressure was coming in, I think that could put to bed a lot of uncertainties. The real failure here for most people who know the case well was the Bush Justice Department in 08.
John, let's move on, because you wrote an article called The Clinton Corruption Files. Tell me what this is all about.
This is very important. So we are now learning that the government possesses more documents about what Hillary Clinton was doing at the foundation and the potential pay-to-play scandal that was going on. Now, about 4 months ago, I reported that the three separate U.S. attorney's offices had criminal investigations of the Clinton Foundation looking at different elements of pay-to-play allegations. Were foreigners or domestic interests making large donations to the Clinton Foundation in order to get favors from then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? All three of those were very active in 2015 and 16, and then they were suddenly shut down. And the orders to shut it down came from the highest levels of the government. Andy McCabe at the FBI, and perhaps more significantly because it's in writing, the Deputy Attorney General for Barack Obama at the time, Sally Yates, who literally gives an instruction to the FBI, these are the exact words that are recorded in the FBI documents, shut it down, meaning no more looking at Hillary Clinton and corruption. Now, that occurs just a few months before Hillary Clinton is also given a clean bill of health on her email scandal. And there's a lot of belief that what was in the emails, we know the classified nature of them, that the real damaging evidence that might have been in the Clinton emails may have been the pay-to-play schemes, and that's what she might have been trying to delete. We don't know, but that's certainly what the U.S. Attorney's Office believes. Recently, we learned that the FBI has recovered some of that evidence, and they are now making it available to Congress. Some of it was preserved by whistleblowers who were involved in the case. We also believe the Little Rock U.S. Attorney's Office preserved a significant amount of evidence. That evidence is now being transmitted to Congress, and we believe at some point we're going to see emails suggesting that a defense contractor was making large donations to the Clinton Foundation and perhaps seeking favorable treatment from the Secretary of State's office. We're going to see multiple efforts by senior political officials in the Obama era trying to interfere with the effort to prosecute this. The line U.S. attorneys and the line FBI agents believe that they had predicate for a criminal investigation of the Clintons for pay to play, not for the email scandal that James Comey absolved the Clintons of, but the specifically pay to play allegations. We believe that that evidence is now in the hands of Congress, soon to be released, and we expect it to be pretty significant new pieces of information, things we didn't know about in all the lawsuits that we've filed over the years to try to get anything we can get on what the Clintons had in their email accounts.
John, I don't want to sell anybody any false hope here. Do we believe someone may actually burn for this, or are we way too past the statute of limitations? And the best we can hope for is some run-of-the-mill embarrassment when a bunch of House politicians put out some information?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? I think the answer lies in what Pam Bondi does next. And I think the single biggest decision Pam Bondi must make is whether she looks at the last decade, 2014 to 2024, as one ongoing conspiracy, and a conspiracy to protect Democrats who've had potential criminal exposure, Hillary Clinton, Hunter Biden, and then Republicans who didn't have criminal exposure but were subjected to the full weight of the government's crushing power in criminal investigations that investigated things that were completely frivolous, like Russia collusion or Ukraine impeachment or the Ukraine allegations. Was the Justice Department used to create fake scandals to make us hunt on the Trump era figures and to avoid having to address real evidence of the Clintons. If that occurs, the Clintons could end up in a conspiracy case potentially being exposed. Now, that exposure could be as an unindicted co-conspirator. It can be as just characters in the narrative who were really corrupt and got away with it. And, you know, you say, well, does that matter for people like the Clintons? Their legacy matters for the history books, and their legacy could be rewritten by what happens. But none of that happens unless Pam Bondi gives the okay to start a grand conspiracy case in Florida. There are early signs that is beginning to happen. There were grand jury subpoenas issued out of Miami in the last 2 weeks at some of the major figures in Russiagate and elsewhere. And I think if you look back and they decide that they're going to look at this period, the Clintons, if they sought the help from the FBI and the Justice Department to quash this, they could face some obstruction of justice charges. They certainly could be exposed in the court of public opinion and in the history books for things that we knew they did, but they tried to cover up, and now we're going to get the evidence. It's probably going to be an uncomfortable time for the Clintons and the Obamas. Who gets indicted, I think, comes down to the quality of the evidence. And the truth of the matter is that evidence is just being gathered now, 10 years later. That's the tragedy of this. People got away with these things for 10 years. But there is extensive evidence to gather evidence by subpoena, to turn whistleblowers in. And there are about 150 subpoenas in the process of going out right now. We're talking a blast of subpoenas that are going to bring evidence in. Then we'll have to look at that evidence, or the grand jury will have to look at that evidence and say, we believe this is a crime. The great thing about a grand conspiracy case is statute of limitations matter less. You can charge things outside the statute of limitations that happened in 14, 15, and 16 if you can connect them to things that happened inside the statute of the last 5 years. One of the most important events that I don't think gets enough attention, Jesse, is what Kash Patel discovered shortly after he took over the FBI, that in January of 2025, this year, in the days just before Donald Trump was about to retake the presidency and move into the White House again, there was some form of an operation going on inside the FBI to put previously unseen evidence into burn bags, maybe destroy them, maybe burn it, hide them in rooms that they would never be found. That is an active cover-up based on the evidence that the government has now put in the court records. These were documents that were not in the electronic preservation system. So if they were destroyed, they were gone forever. For some reason, the items in the burn bags weren't burned. We think maybe agents with a conscience decided to make it look like they were going to get rid of the evidence, but leave it and not destroy it. That is the cover-up. That's the erasure of the 18-minute gap on the Nixon tapes or the cleanup operation after the Watergate. If that connects back, and if the evidence they were destroying were things like Russia collusion, Clinton Foundation or Clinton-related investigations, January 6th, Jack Smith, the cover-up will create the ultimate narrative that these cases, which seem disparate and different, were all related in the minds of those who were trying to cover it up. That could change Americans' understanding in a big way. I'd really watch for that as the next big shoe to drop in all of this sort of post-historical scandal era where we're going back and learning what we weren't told and the truths we were denied.
No doubt. John, thank you for everything. As always, appreciate you. All right. We're going to talk about immigration. Before we do that, we need to talk about something more important. Chips. Aren't they the best? Is there anything better than sitting down Sunday afternoon after church with a bag of chips? Maybe something good on the TV. Maybe it's board game night. What do you eat, though? Because as you get older and you start to look at the ingredients on the back of a chip bag, you don't want to eat too much of that, do you? So what do? I'm not giving up chips. I don't have to, though, because of Massa Chips, the most delicious, fresh, not bad for you chips out there. I have laid waste, I'm ashamed to say this, I have laid waste to an entire bag of Massa Chips in one sitting. I wasn't bloated, I didn't feel tired and like garbage, because it's three ingredients. No seed oils, no filth. Give it to your kids without guilt. MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Okay, so I mentioned we're going to discuss immigration just for a couple minutes here, but I wanted to clarify something. You are an extremely political person. I am an extremely political person. We're weirdos. It's what we are. You're sitting here watching me. You could be watching anything. What are you doing? There's Netflix, Amazon Prime, there's movies, there's sports, but you're watching me. You're political. We are political people. And so you're always going to know more than the general public. Than the Tom, Dick, and Harry out there on the sidewalk. You're always going to know more than that person. That's good. I'm happy you do. I'm happy I do. I don't want to be naive. I want to know the issues. But it is also important that people like us, insiders, I guess that's how I'll describe us. We are insiders. People like us can get so deep inside that we lose sight of the big issues that actually decide elections. I have so many issues that I care deeply, deeply, deeply about, critically important issues that most of the country doesn't care about at all. Election integrity is actually a great one because that's a hot button thing for me, probably a hot button thing for you. No, you should have to show ID. We have to stop the cheating, get the illegals. That's what I care about. That's what you care about. Norm doesn't care about it at all. All the normies out there, they don't vote on it. They don't care about it. Do you know why Donald Trump is in the White House? He's in the White House because of inflation and immigration. That's why he's in the White House. All those little issues, your issues, I shouldn't say little, because maybe they are more important than those two things, whatever it is you care about. I'm not trying to minimize it. This is just a reminder that with all the little drama here about this, or even the Epstein stuff, with all the little bit of this and little bit of that, and these issues that matter, we can lose sight of the fact that elections are decided on big things. Not your thing, not my thing, big things. We have a midterm election coming up in 2026. How's inflation? How's immigration? The answers to those questions are going to go a long way to deciding how that midterm goes for us. And the exact same thing applies in 2028. 2028 won't be Jeffrey Epstein or this online drama or this podcaster. It's going to be the big things. All right? Well, the climate commies had another meeting. I know you're going to find this shocking, but they found another location everyone had to fly to talk about why your SUV is destroying the planet. Joining me now, my buddy Mark Morano, executive editor of ClimateDepot.com. Hey, Mark, why'd you call it Crap 30 instead of Cop 30?
Well, I've been to 21 out of the last 23 of these monstrosities hosted by the UN. And in those 21 I've attended, nothing like this has ever happened. Basically, first thing that happened, and we knew there was a problem, was for 6 hours, the entire toilet system went down. World leaders, UN delegates, no one could have access to any kind of toilet. There was no plumbing. Then when they restored that, they made a pretty scary announcement. They announced that no more toilet paper could be utilized at all in the UN conference center. So the entire conference center, you were not allowed to use toilet paper in the toilets. So they were coming up with special containers by which you could then place the soiled toilet paper. And It just goes to show you, maybe they shouldn't have put 50,000 people in the middle of a small Brazilian jungle city where 80% of the people, we knew this ahead of time, 80% of the residents of Belém, Brazil, the city it was hosted in, don't have access to modern sewage. But the UN, with all their engineering, with all the money, with all the consultants, couldn't figure that out. But yet, they want to manage our economy in the year 2100 so we can have the right energy mix in order to fight global warming.
Yes, of course.
Crap 30. Gavin, so we started out as COP 30. We went to Crap 30. And hey, in the middle, we were at Clear Cut 30 as we went and visited the new highway that they bulldozed tens of thousands of acres and 100,000 plus trees down to build.
They just can't make it up. Gavin Newsom, of course, governor of California, was in Brazil for the whole thing. Yeah. Here he was.
Home values will start to decline. You're seeing it across the spectrum right now, in my state included, which is one of the most blessed and cursed states as it relates to climate. We're on the tip of the spear of climate change. Simultaneous droughts and simultaneous floods. The hots are getting a lot hotter, the drys drier. You saw one of the most devastating wildfires in American history in the middle of winter in Los Angeles in January. 100-mile-an-hour winds attached to fire. And as we rebuild, the number one concern people have is, how do I get my home insured? And how do you get a developer to develop a home that can't get a mortgage, which is requires home insurance?
Ah, yes. As a reminder, communists lie about everything all the time. Hey, Mark, what did cause that fire?
Well, it was man-made. It just wasn't man-made climate change. I mean, you can go through the quick list. We now know from the firemen texts that they never put the fire out in the first place. We now know they had inadequate fire response. They had inadequate water supplies. The hoses ran dry. We now know that they got rid of the dams and the dwelling because of endangered species. We know that they had, you know, woke policies and weren't hiring the best people in these emergency response systems. We also know that they had poor land use management, they had poor shrub management, they had poor water distribution. Across the board, I can understand why if you're a bank, you're an insurance company, why would you insure or invest in any property in that political governing disaster that is Gavin Newsom in Los Angeles? Had nothing to do with climate change. Wildfires as a climate measure, down about 95% over the last 100 years. We're at record lows. If you look back at the history of the U.S., United States Department of Agriculture data, there's no there there. And I love the way he says we're going to have highs and hotter hots and wetter wets. I mean, it's just like, it's he just comes up with stuff. None of that's true. We're not having an increase in flood on climate timescales, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, none of it. But by the way, doesn't matter. Politico has declared Gavin Newsom the climate president in waiting. He was greeted as a, quote, rock star at this UN summit.
Mark, pause on all this for a minute. Brazil. Tell me about the food. Please tell me there's delicious food. I picture it having delicious food.
Okay, great question. Yes, I love the food. I'm a big lover of fish, even the shellfish and seafood. So one of my favorite meal there was a seafood stew. And it was at a little restaurant right along the waterfront, you know, with homeless people there. I ended up having so much left over that I fed some homeless person who was there. Just happened to be happening by. It's in dire poverty, but they make excellent food. It's got a Portuguese influence. So I had all the kinds of different fish, and I didn't have much of an impact. I can't say the same for when I went to Cairo, Egypt, a few years ago, three years ago, for that UN summit. I ate liver and onions off of a divey place in the Cairo market, and I felt that the rest of the week without going into details. But I didn't have that problem in Brazil. Food was excellent. It really was. The restaurants. Now, even the street vendors I was eating off of, and they had great, they had the roasted nuts, and they had corn that they would make right there. So they had a lot of unique things. Great people. What they need, and the indigenous people actually protested. If you read the media, you think the indigenous people were protesting against global warming. No, they had a very legitimate protest. They were protesting against governments and corporations basically raiding their ancestral lands, which they are deemed the rightful owners of legally, and extracting oil, gas, and timber. And that's what they were protesting, the lack of property rights, not worried about global warming. And that's what they are under assault for that. And I would side with the indigenous people and their protest on that, not these big multinational corporations that want to come in and basically steal from them. Now, I sound like a little bit like a Bernie Sanders there, but when you go there, you can understand that the corporations have taken over these UN climate summits. It's now a sanitized corporate message that they promote. There's no more. You don't even see the left-wing environmentalists necessarily at the booths. It's all corporate America, Bank of America, AT&T, you name it. They're all set up, and they're all like sanitized messaging.
Bill Gates, I have to ask about his recent reversals, if you will. Here
yes,
was Bill
amazing.
Gates.
Amazing.
Climate is a super important problem. There's enough innovation here to avoid super bad outcomes. We have to frame it in terms of overall human welfare, not just everything should be solely for climate. If you think climate is the only problem and it's apocalyptic, or if you think climate's not a problem at all, my memo will make no sense to you. You'll be like, oh no, it should all be climate, or you'll be like, why are you even still talking about this climate thing? Why do you invest billions of your money into these companies? The middle position that climate is super important, but has to be considered in terms of overall human welfare, I didn't pick that position because it's a, everybody agrees with it. It's, I think, intellectually the right answer.
Mark?
Okay. Bill happened? Gates knew. He knew in 1990 that climate wasn't a catastrophe. He knew in 2000. He knew in 2010. He knew in 2020 that it was a hoax. He's only willing to say this publicly, that it's not a problem, that it's not a catastrophe. I mean, he's saying, oh, it's theoretically a problem because he's got a lot of investments. But he's only willing to say this because he's got massive investments in AI. They want the data centers. We already know Larry Fink of BlackRock has said you cannot run data centers on solar and wind. So Bill Gates knows what he's saying. It's strategic. But here's the funny part. Al Gore came to this conference. Oddly enough, was not greeted like a rock star. He was greeted as yesterday's news. I mean, he just sort of showed up with no announcement, didn't see much excitement. And you know what Al Gore spent his time talking about? How Bill Gates was, quote, silly. Bill Gates was being bullied by Donald Trump. Bill Gates was afraid of Donald Trump. So now we have Gore v. Gates. Two potential. I know Gates is a billionaire. Al Gore tried to be a billionaire, but his fake meat company went belly up. But you know, this is going to be similar to Zuckerberg versus Musk. I don't know. These two wealthy climate guys are going to go at it. But his message put a chill on this entire conference, Bill Gates, because he basically said it's not a catastrophe and we should move on and we need energy. He's trying to lease Three Mile Island nuclear plant in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to power his AI data centers. So you tell me how the AI agenda is in any way compatible with the climate agenda. Bill Gates is leaving the house and Al Gore is making everyone know it. They're fighting over that. By the way, Bill Gates has invested in the lab-grown meat, so has Al Gore, the fake meat. This conference featured Bob's Burgers, and according to Politico, day two of the summit, they sold out of hamburgers. We went to the actual food room, and it was the lines for Bob's Burgers were through the roof. It took like 45 minutes on the first day. They also had chicken. They had beef. I didn't see insects on that menu anywhere.
These people, man. Mark, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And once again, another Democrat has apparently allegedly committed a crime. Eric Swalwell has been referred for a criminal probe. For what? Mortgage fraud. Look, if he did this, I just don't understand. Do all these people do this? Mortgage fraud is one of those cut and dry crimes, meaning it's black and white. Did you say you lived somewhere that you didn't actually live? That's a crime. And Eric Swalwell's possibly going to be in very, very deep trouble over this crime. Every day we find out more and more stuff about our government just being one gigantic criminal syndicate of people who get away with crap you would never get away with, and I would never get away with. But still, we can smile, because at least we didn't fart on camera.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Oops. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.